Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Mining Now. We have got a... This is a part three of a four-part series with Veracio, and we have Dr. Carrie DL.
DL, yes.
Dr. Carrie DL, she is the principal spectral geologist at Veracio. Now, we'll also have links to the other episodes we've done with Veracio from... We had Mike Ravella on, and we had... Mikkel Arthurson on. So check out both those episodes. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And you're at AME, right?
So you... That is correct. Yep. I was there this morning and heading back there after this.
Is it nice to have a little bit of a break from the crowds?
It's nice. Yeah. It's always good to be there, but it's always good to step away.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to thank you for coming. We appreciate it. Then I realized it's also sometimes nice at those events to like, I got to go somewhere for 2 hours.
Exactly. So you're not wrong.
It's actually a new title for me, Principal Spectral Geologist. And now the spectral part, I'm not familiar with it. I know all the geologists are, but myself, I'm not. What is the title, and what's just sort of your background?
Absolutely. So spectral geologist is somebody who specializes or has knowledge about hyperspectral mineralogy, essentially. I don't think we've come up with necessarily a good term for it. There aren't too many people that are sort of specialists in this field. We're always encouraging more to join the ranks, for sure.
So spectral, what is, even in geology, what is that?
Hyperspectral. So it's a type of analysis where you're using hyperspectral technologies, essentially hitting a sample, hitting any rock with a light source and reading the spectra or the resulting spectra that comes off of that.
And that has been integrated into the Veracio technology, essentially.
That is why I'm with Veracio, and that's exactly what we're doing at the moment.
So is that new? Like when we had Mikkel on, when I do so many of these interviews, I have trouble remembering what he covered. I feel like he didn't cover much of that. How new is this?
Very new. So we're in testing at the moment and development, and we are launching the product commercially this year.
How do people do it now? Are there like giant labs that people will do it? Like how is the technology carried out today?
Absolutely. So hyperspectral technologies are really well established in mining, in exploration. They've been around for a long, long time. Whether it's lab, like benchtop systems in a lab, but there's a lot of technologies that can be provided through remote sensing. All of that is sort of hyperspectral technologies as well. There are handheld instruments that, you know, fairly small instruments that you can take into the field. Those have been around since the 90s. And the scanning part of that is the newer component to hyperspectral data delivery, but it's just an extension of everything that's been done before.
So, okay. So actually, let's maybe back up a little bit. For anybody who hasn't seen the other episodes, just who is Veracio? We'll get some context in, and then, of course, we'll dive into more of the technology again. So who is Veracio just as a company?
That's a great question. I'm probably not the one to answer this, by the way. So Veracio is a new company. It's under the umbrella of Bort Longyear.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get you to like verify all of this information.
Yeah, of course. So
Veracio is a new company. It spun out of Bort Longyear. A lot of the technology comes from the Geological Data Services division of Bort Longyear, and they've spun that out into this new entity, Veracio.
Right.
Let's talk about our heavy industry tour brought to you by Savanna Equipment, supplying mining equipment worldwide, and Geograph, solving customer challenges through innovation and design, higher performing parts, engineered solutions, on-time spare parts supply, and high-quality repairs. We are heading to events across North America and Australia and filming episodes on location. Email us at info@crownsman.com to be part of Crownsman's Heavy Industry World Tour. Revolutionize your mining operations with MassPro's engineering excellence. Their engineering talent can transform your mining machinery, supercharge your productivity, and improve your equipment optimization. Your success is their mission, and they're prepared to take your mining operations to new heights by maximizing efficiency, safety, and ore extraction like never before. Head to masspro.com.au for further information. Hey, mining enthusiasts, registration for CIM Connect 2024 Vancouver from May 12th to 15th is now open. Last year, this convention had over 6,800 participants from 60 countries, with 1,796 delegates, 702 booths, and 320 presentations. Secure your spot and register now at convention.cim.org. CIM Connect 2024, where quality and innovation define the experience.
So where do you come in to... I guess what I'm trying to find is that where that your specialty and the technology kind of gets plugged into Verasio.
Absolutely. So Verasio is really focused on ore body knowledge. So all sorts of tools and data delivery and software options for people to improve their ore body knowledge. At all sorts of levels. So whether it's any tools related to drilling at the drill site, but they're one of their biggest platforms is their TruScan platform. So the TruScan is a scanning XRF system.
Right.
So they already have that technology. And where I come in is we are integrating hyperspectral analyses into the existing TruScan platform.
So it's from a user perspective, it's all integrated into the TruScan. Because I think that's the one that Michael Ravella, he talked a lot about TruScan.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually integrated into the system.
Yes. So that is what we're actively doing right now is integrating hyperspectral analyses into the existing TruScan platform. Yeah.
So I guess... I wish I understood it better, so you'll have to sort of walk me through it. So the TruScan, okay, without the, what is it called,
hyperspectral?
Hyperspectral.
Yes.
Without that technology, what does the TruScan technology do now, and then what happens when you integrate it?
Absolutely. That is a great question. So the TruScan platform, it's a XRF scanning system. So in addition, and XRF gives you elemental data, so geochemistry, from your core samples or your chip samples. What the TruScan as a platform, it's hosted on a trailer, essentially. Core is fed into the trailer. Photos are taken. We get dry photos taken, and the core is pushed into the interior of the trailer, and it's put into the scanning bay. And it's scanned. We have a LiDAR scanner, mm-hmm. so you're getting a surface profile on the core, and then an XRF scan. So a line scan down the center of each row of core, or each chip bin if we're working with chips, and that is collecting elemental data. Then the core is pushed out, wet photos are taken, and then the next core box can be entered into the system.
And then so when is your system?
So we are integrating hyperspectral. We have a hyperspectral camera that we're adding into the TruScan scanning platform. So when the core comes into the scanning system, we will be adding another scan pass so that we can collect hyperspectral data in addition to the data that's already been collected.
So what is what are the challenges of integrating this into the system? Or is it just steps that need to get taken over time? Like you said, it's about a year before it's going to come out to the actual market?
So we are at the market this year. We're going to have systems trialing this March, April in the field, and commercial release with some systems hopefully by July.
What's the challenge of integrating the system in?
It's always just it's been a challenge. Certainly having the existing platform, so all of the and the TruScans are operational. They've been in the field. Verasio, as Bort Longyear, has been doing this for many years, so they have working system, working technologies. All that we're doing is inserting a new technology into it. Mm. In terms of the logistics for that, we certainly need to deal with, the mechanics and the electrical constraints. Thankfully, the trailers are tall enough to accommodate the system. We need a certain height above the sample in order to get good optics on the hyperspectral system. But other than that, it really is because they have this system operational and all of that, it's just working out the kinks.
Your partner in technical services, AMPS, have been industry leaders in technical services optimization systems and training since 2011. With a team of over 70 resource professionals, AMPS provides world-class support to mining technical services teams globally. AMPS builds the capabilities within teams on-site to maximize results and unlock value in mining operations. With significant experience in operational underground and open pit engineering and geology, AMPS is passionate about delivering value to their clients across an array of professional services. If you're looking to improve your mine site's technical services, visit advancedmps.com or email partner at advancedmps.com today. Orica Digital Solutions seamlessly connects customers' physical and digital worlds so they can readily understand and optimize operations at every step of the value chain, from exploration to processing. Whether deployed individually or as a whole, Orica Digital Solutions technologies deliver intelligence for open cut and underground mines to make more precise and faster decisions. With a complete, timely, and accurate picture, operations can adapt to improve safety, drive productivity, reduce costs, and environmental impacts. To learn more about Orica Digital Solutions, visit orica.com/digital solutions today. LNH Industrial can custom engineer and build from the ground up any heavy equipment assembly or machine that you need for your operation. Their worldwide 24/7 field services network is on the job whenever you need heavy equipment troubleshooting, repairs, rebuilds, relocations, or replacements. And thanks to their specialized design and engineering and state-of-the-art manufacturing and repair services, they are a go-to international supplier for improved components and custom assemblies for heavy industrial machinery. Visit LNH.net to learn more.
When did you join the company?
I joined the company last February.
Okay, so what I love to put people on the spot with this question. What's the first week like when you join a company like this? I'll set it up. What I'm asking because when you join a company, if it's a really established, some of the companies we've had on, it's very meat and potatoes. But when you're joining a technology company, I should clarify, I love the meat and potatoes companies. They're some of my favorite types of companies. But these technology companies that are like, they're integrating services and they're doing acquisitions and there's mergers and new, essentially inventions are getting integrated into old technologies. It just goes on and on. So You came on, I would imagine, with your expertise already in hand. What's the first week or two like while you're trying to kind of get this all going?
Yeah, it was. It's been exciting. It's been quite a ride. I started, and I'm working remotely, so that's a whole other sort of added level of complexity to a certain extent when you're starting a new role and you're working completely remotely. What I find with Verasio is they have a large remote workforce, so they're very good at disseminating information to all of the people on their team.
So you're not one of just a handful. Yes, it's exactly. Actually a team. Yeah. So they're equipped to do it.
Yeah. So I spent my first week, my first many weeks, just learning as much as I could about the existing platform. I knew I was coming in to work with the TruScan system. So just, bugging as many people as I could to learn as much as I could about, what TruScan does, how we think we can do this, and really just trying to learn the systems, trying to learn exactly, what each piece of this company does.
Did you join the team to integrate the technology? Was that your mandate right at the beginning?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So are you focused on the results that it gets, or are you focused on, where the bolt goes in the trailer? Like how much is your involvement in the actual design, things like that?
Yeah, that is a great question. My expertise is certainly not in the instrumentation in the slightest.
Right.
I have worked in hyperspectral mineralogy for many, many years, but always on the data processing side. So if somebody gives me the data, I know, what we need to do with it, how we can get the best results out of it, how to interpret that data, how to process that data. But I've never been involved really from the start on the instrumentation, sort of building the system from that side, thinking about, the specifications that are needed from the instrumentation point of view, as well as just from, from the mechanics and the electrical point of view.
Yeah.
So It's been fascinating getting to see that side of you know the a product, you know, from start to finish.
When this rolls out, will it? How do you? I guess with Bort, there's sort of that advantage of the R&D and that you can test it in the field easier. Is that sort of or has sorry. I think you already answered this, but has that already happened? Is it already out in the field getting tested?
No, not yet.
No, okay.
Not yet. Yeah. We are hoping to, we have a couple field trials planned for sort of March, April this year.
So what will those look like? Will that be like a client site or your own facility? What is the setup to then go test something like this? And what are you looking for out of those tests?
Yeah, that's a great question. So these are client sites. So we're working with some clients that Verasio has been working with for a while now. Mm. These clients already have been using the TruScan system, the original TruScan platform, for quite a while. So they're used to the workflow. Their geologists are used to having this, you know, integrated into their workflow, and they have very well established calibrations for their XRF data. And that's a big part of generating the XRF data and the geochemistry is there's a lot of work that goes into generating the matrix calibrations, makes matrix appropriate calibrations so that the data is reliable. So these clients have been doing that. They've been doing that for quite a while with us already. So that's not a variable in our testing.
Right.
And that's going to be really important is that we don't have to question what the geochemistry is doing. We are going to be focused in on just making sure that the hyperspectral component to the data that we are providing is reliable. We have the workflow sorted out so that we can do that properly.
So is that the big thing? Because the technology has been around for so long and being used. So it's not really a question of if it will work. It's how it will integrate in with everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. We are building, we have custom instrumentation. But, you know, there is nothing... nothing new necessarily about a spectrometer. There's a lot of spectrometers out there, and we know exactly how it will work and how it should work.
Right.
The key is getting the data, you know, transferred from the trailer up into the cloud so we can deal with the processing and then getting those cloud-based processes in place so that everything's running smoothly. We're also developing our own internal software and mineral identification algorithms so that we can take the data and transform that into mineralogy and mineral outputs.
I asked Michael and I kind of forgot the answer, quite honestly, is with the TruScan system, is it pulling historic data from a site? Or is it pulling data from everywhere? Like, is it a giant database of data, like that's cross-referencing with other, like through the AI systems and things like that?
No. So the TruScan simply collects data from whatever is fed into it.
Right.
So if you are working on a site and you are working on an active drill program, then you're feeding, you know, core that's been drilled directly into the TruScan system so that you can get your elemental geochemistry results, you know, by the next day, you know, to insert that into your logging, into your models, however that gets used. We certainly can scan historic core, but the TruScan itself simply collects the data. It's an instrument that will analyze whatever core is being put into it.
I kind of want to understand again, some of these we've already touched on with Verasio, but it sort of begs touching on it a few more times because there'll be different people watching it.
Yeah.
But also as people understand the technology more, those questions need to kind of get re-asked to kind of reconfirm things. How is it done? All that is getting now poured into TruScan, all that technology, how was it done in comparison before? Was there three different labs that this would go off to? Was there three different technologies spread out over three different trailers? I'm just trying to get a picture of what they were doing before.
Exactly. So What the XRF gives is it gives near real-time elemental data off of your drill core.
Yeah.
The normal procedure is core is drilled, and the half of those the core is processed or logged, and the data, half the core, is crushed and sent off to the labs for traditional geochemical analysis.
Right.
That can take quite a while. Unless you have a lab on site, you can be waiting weeks to months for your geochemical data to be returned. So by using a TruScan system, it's not necessarily replacing all of the traditional assays you may do, although you may not need to do a full suite of your traditional geochemical assays, but you get that data in hand, you know, by the next day.
Right.
So you can, the geologists on site can use that data to start to make, you know, real-time calls. Are we going to keep drilling this hole? Are we going to kill this hole? Are we heading towards ore? Do we need to reevaluate what we're doing? So it's giving the data to the geologists in near real time.
Yeah. I mean, potentially just the amount of efficiency, money, all that can be saved just within a real-time decision, as opposed to let's wait however long. Exactly. I don't know how long.
Yeah.
I've heard some stories of stuff being very backed up before.
Yes. In certain parts of the world, I mean, it is variable, but you know, when you have to wait 6 months for your lab assays, that's significant.
Yeah. I mean, and imagine, 5 years from now, that would just be now Verasio, I mean, is it operating globally? Like the TruScan system, is it out on site globally already?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. It's been, like I said, I think the system is, you know, has been operational for several years. They've had great success stories, currently operating, you know, Australia, Canada, South America, Asia.
The technician brings the unit actually comes on site with technicians, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So they're doing it on this isn't a rented trailer system or something like
No, it's a service.
Yeah.
So in some circumstances, if the clients want to be involved and they want to sort of train up some of their own people to operate it, that certainly is a model that Verasio can work with. But certainly it comes with the core prep involvement is important. So it's important to get that piece of the puzzle right. So you need, you know, the technicians on site to make sure the core is dry and clean and it's going to be fed into the systems correctly.
I knew it was an exciting company when Mike was trying to do the interview and people were trying to talk to him. They were coming into the booth. You know, it was one of the busiest, Ed. And I mean, you can probably check the tape and see it. We probably tried to edit it out a little bit, but like it was hard to even get him to start the interview.
He
had
to
keep going to people like one sec, you know. So you're attending, you're at AME right now.
Yeah.
What is your personal focus when you're at that event?
Yeah, so I'm there basically to provide technical support to the team if there's any questions from clients, potential clients, anyone who wants to discuss the technology and what we're doing with it. There's a certain having somebody there with that technical knowledge and background expertise.
Right.
The people that come and talk to us are often, you know, very technical.
Right.
And they want to drill down into the specifics.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't tell myself. Now I'm going to completely just just take away my responsibility as an interviewer to know what questions to ask. And I'm just going to put it over onto other people. What are some of the questions that you're getting asked? Are those technical people that are coming up to you or that the salespeople are bringing over to you to ask, are there maybe two or three main questions, or maybe even things that they're apprehensive going, well, does it do this? Does it do that sort of stuff? Are there any of those things that are sort of you're seeing are consistent?
Yeah, the way people are interested in the system that we are building, because we're doing it slightly differently to what is out there already.
Okay.
So explaining the Verasio approach that we're taking is sort of the focus of a lot of the conversations that I'm having with, you know, the technical geologists, the geochemists, the metallurgists, you know, at that level, people that are sort of have a little bit of knowledge and experience in with hyperspectral data. And just want to understand exactly it is what we're doing.
So they is it workflow that they're trying to understand? Is it how they're going to see the data? What is sort of that?
It's mostly so. Like I said, there are many different ways that we can collect hyperspectral data. Whether it's from, you know, point systems where you're just you have a little handheld spectrometer and you're collecting, you know, one sample every meter, and you have, and then that you can. Look at that data yourself.
That's those little handheld ones you see at events, trade shows people have.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And there's, you know, there's now drone-based spectroscopy, remote sensing, and there are hyperspectral scanning systems as well.
Those are the tabletop ones you said about.
Yeah. So there's hyperspectral scan. So there, and these do exist. I worked for a company previously, CoreScan, has a long history in hyperspectral core imaging. There are several companies globally that offer hyperspectral scanning services. What most of these companies do is they're focused on hyperspectral core imaging. So they're scanning the entire surface of the core. And they generate mineral distribution maps from that data. What we are trying to do at Verasio, and the approach that I'm really excited to be taking, is we are trying to address basically two of the biggest challenges that are involved in traditional hyperspectral instrumentation and scanning systems. If you're scanning the entire core, that's an enormous volume of data.
Okay.
And it can take a really long time to process that data and get the results back to clients. So just like we have sort of a backlog of, you know, getting geochemical assays back to clients, scanning systems, it can take quite a while just by the volumes of the data that are involved and the high resolution volumes of data. It can take quite a while to process that data and return the results to clients. And another complexity involved with hyperspectral data is it's a way to measure mineralogy, but the nature of the technology is such that it's semi-quantitative. We are only able to identify minerals that are active within the spectral range that we're looking. So with the Verasio system, we are not focusing on core imaging, but we're focused on a direct alignment of the hyperspectral data that we're collecting with the XRF data stream.
I see. Okay. So rather than having this massive... So when you're adding this to the system, you're not trying to create this huge amount of data now that's also now needs to be processed. You're trying to it's almost like a confirmation data.
Well, so there we get complementary data from the two data streams. What the XRF gives you is it gives you geochemical data. It's measuring elements, so copper, gold, silica, aluminum. You're getting elemental data, quantified elemental data. Hyperspectral gives you mineralogical data. It really is one of the few techniques that you can do used that measures mineralogy. So elements, all of your elements, they get combined in various ways into minerals. So they are complementary in that sense, but you're getting different information. So from the mineralogy, we're understanding how those elements that we're measuring are organized into the minerals.
Right. Okay. I have to say right, okay, because I believe you.
I'm glad.
But then from the questions that you're getting then, I guess I'll just have to stumble through this and then you can fix it.
Yeah.
From the clients, the people that are asking the questions right now, they've got to understand that this is not this full scan where you're collecting all of this data. It is a complementary to the system that's already in place. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of people with some experience with hyperspectral scanning, like I said, it's not new. There's a lot of companies that have been doing this for quite a long time. the ones that are knowledgeable, they want to understand what we're doing differently and why. So, you know, certainly very happy to have those conversations. And we're just giving an alternative approach.
Yeah.
And really, you know, trying to hit that spot where we can offer sort of rapid resource characterization.
So with it, will it replace the full, a full version of the technology, or is it still sort of like for the hyperspectral data, it's complementary to the other, the XRF, right?
XRF,
The XRF. So now could they still do their, is there still like a full scale version that they might do somewhere else, like at a lab or something like that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Certainly what you get from full core imaging is you get mineral distribution maps. So you can certainly get a lot of information looking at mineral textures, mineral distributions, that you can get a lot of that information from the, you know, like I said, from the distribution maps that you get from full core imaging. There's a lot of work we can do using the combination of the XRF with our narrow width hyperspectral scan, where we're still getting multi-pixel scan, but we're limiting ourselves to that to the overlap in the with the two sets of data. But then we also get the core photography. So there's a lot of interesting work being done.
So going together, then it should get to the same place.
We're hoping, mostly. So not hoping. We are think we're going to be able to provide a by using this an integrated solution. We're going to be able to provide the clients with, you know, a their elemental distribution, but exact how those elements are distributed into minerals, and it's that exact overlap or the alignment of those two sets of data, which will should provide significant value.
What is the fee? So when you're giving that answer to someone not like me, who someone who actually understands everything that you're saying on a deeper level, or even the stuff that you're not saying, they're understanding what's implied with the technology just from having a more in-depth knowledge. What is their feedback? Like at AME, what are they saying back when you get that answer?
Yeah, I've been, I mean, we've certainly been having lots of discussions with clients throughout this process, getting engagement and making sure that we are hitting the mark.
Yeah.
And the response has been very, very positive.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. I think there's a gap in the industry, and we're trying to fill that. We are, you know, trying to be able to provide these results in near real time. And that is the real goal, is reliable, high quality mineralogical data combined with our elemental data, you know, within 24 hours. So that's our goal. And certainly there's a lot of value that is being seen in that.
Yeah, that's sort of that. And that's the part I definitely wasn't understanding. I was thinking of it as these technologies, again, from my first interview, I was thinking of it as these individual technologies. It's sort of this, like a suite within. I wasn't thinking of it as like they're actually complementing each other to get to the same. Whereas individually, they would have been like these full scale testing labs that you would have you know, months later. And I would imagine that, let's say 10 years from now, if you told someone, we used to wait 6 months before we could decide where to start drilling next, I mean, they would have just been like, that wouldn't make any sense.
It's not always the case, but yes, there are the, you know, for geochem labs, for scanning platforms, you know, there is variability out there, but when there is a backlog, it can have significantly impact the economics of any project.
Just to sort of change gears here for a bit, what made you decide to get into the field that you chose? A field that I didn't even know was.
Yeah. I really kind of fell into it. I was doing graduate work at UBC here in Vancouver. And as part of my research program, I was working on epithermal systems and porphyry systems in South America. And one of the tools that I was introduced to was a handheld reflection spectrometer. And it was the way that I, you know, mapped out the alteration through these systems and was able to trace out the alteration zonation. And I really gravitated towards the applied side of this. I really saw the value in having this mineralogical tool, you know, on site, you know, reliable mineralogical data. And I've had some, worked with some amazing people. I've had some, you know, great mentors in the space, and I just sort of ran with it.
What, because I've been talking to people about, you know, obviously the mining industry on a whole is trying to attract people to it. And I remember in high school, I never even saw it. Like, I came from the mining world on the equipment side. So I grew up in it. And still, even in school, I never heard anything about geology or anything like that. It just wasn't brought up ever in my, and I went through a big high school. It just never came up. Mining, maybe a little oil and gas was a thing. People like, everybody, it was like the default. It's like, well, if I can't get a job here, I'm going to go up north and work, you know, that kind of thing.
Are you from Alberta?
No, I'm from BC. I'm from BC. Yeah, Kamloops. Yeah. Kamloops area.
Yeah.
So coming out of high school, how did you sort of lock into that as a career option, or, you know, sort of where, what drew you into it?
Again, I totally fell into it. I started my undergraduate in sort of general sciences. I really didn't know, you know, where I wanted to focus, what I was doing. And it was, you know, second year I took a geology class, and I just, I really connected with the material, you know, with the earth sciences. It's just not something that I had been exposed to.
Yeah. So it wasn't family or anything?
No. Nope.
Just, yeah.
No.
Nope. You just went, oh, that looks interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did a hard right turn.
And I'm not expecting you to figure out this answer right on the spot, but what do you think would attract? Because I hear that from the people that are coming on. They're just looking. We do an Australian tour. We do a lot of episodes in the U.S. Obviously, Canada's a big market for us. And it's pretty much the same message over and over. They want people to join up into this industry, but are having trouble with it. What do you – I guess, one, why – just from your perspective, and what do you think would attract more people to join this industry?
That's a hard one. If I could solve that, I think we'd all, you know, we'd be in a better place. I think the key is really to try to get, again, I mean, going through school, you know, back in the day, I didn't know anything about, you know, geology.
Yeah. So you'd never heard, like, I never even heard of it. I didn't even hear the word.
No, like, it wasn't on the radar at all. Yeah. And I think, you know, there are a lot of initiatives to try to get, you know, just get people into schools to just talk to kids about what it means to be a geologist. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a big thing. I think just incorporating a little bit of just earth science into, you know, your high school curriculum.
Yeah.
I've got kids in high school now and they're learning chemistry, and it's like, well, and they take a very sort of traditional chemistry approach, but there's no reason why we can't, you know,
not as transferable, really. Standard chemistry in high school it's not as transferable as other.
But the basic principles are there. It's just, you know, it's just how you apply it and what does that mean for this or that. And I think giving people an awareness of, you know, what does mining mean? What does it give you? How does it impact your everyday life?
Yeah.
And how do we get there? Like, what's the science behind it? There's a lot there. It just, we don't do a good job at you know, permeating that, you know, from early stages.
Well, and the technology, people do not understand. Like, Verasio, I mean, I saw it at the event. I saw the interest. Yeah. And the assumption is, oh, well, this is a mining audience. We see stats. People are not just watching our show that are just mining. Obviously, that's the bulk of it.
Right.
But people are interested in interesting things.
Absolutely.
And I think, so I've been starting to beat this drum quite a bit, and I'm going to keep on doing it until somebody listens to me. I think mining needs to do a better job of showing the things that they do, like the Verasio, but to the public. Yeah. I think they're trying to really show the importance of them, of how important they are, which is, of course, true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, it's kind of like saying to people, well, housing is important. People go, okay, yeah, we know. But, you know, I still, it doesn't really resonate. But things resonate with people. People find things interesting. And I just feel like in high school, if I had seen a Verasio, I would have been very interested if I had been able to go out into the field, you know, and instead and actually go see it work or something. I wouldn't have even thought about it. It would have been the first thing I would have signed up for, and it might have even taken me in a different career path. But I'm just not seeing that happening, and I hope it does. That's
yeah, I think as an industry, we, you know, any little initiative we can to just, you know, just get people out there talking to kids. And, you know, you often see when you go to PDC, I don't know if they do it Roundup here, if they're, you know, get school kids coming through and talking to them about it. You know, every time there's a discussion about, you know, global warming, well, we can have a discussion about, you know, what do we need to help? How do we get past there? And what science can we use?
Right.
That is applicable.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be mining a lot more for the battery, for the energy transition. You know, how do we get there? What does that mean? You know, if we can start talking about it more in terms of the practicalities and the science behind it, what does that really mean? How do we get there? You know, what do we need? You know, what are the ways that we can do it most efficiently?
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, is the more efficiencies we can bring into the system, you know, that is good for everybody.
I feel like the mining industry on a whole in the last few years has really taken, this is why I'm hoping now they take this out into general public more. There seems to be an excitement in the mining industry that I didn't see even 5 years ago. I just didn't have that feeling of technology was like this thing everybody was kind of looking at. Now there's an excitement and there's even a pride within the industry of like, look at what we're doing now. Is that just me doing the interviews and interviewing more people, or do you get a sense of that in the industry as well?
I think as a whole, yes. There's certainly still some pockets of resistance.
Yeah.
From
well, you need those people too. Yeah. You always need the person going, I have one more question.
Yeah. And that is all good. And that makes us all, sit up and make sure we're
make our case stronger.
Yes, absolutely. we need those people. It's there is. I've certainly seen I wasn't in on the ground level for hyperspectral scanning technologies, but pretty early on and even that, I mean, just every time we turn around, there's somebody else, entering the space. There is an enormous amount of, new technologies, available technologies, ways to use existing data that are coming through. And we are definitely on an uptake.
Yeah.
And it is exciting to be part of that.
Is there a lot that you're learning going to these events now, like the AMEs, as opposed to, let's say, like again, 5-10 years ago? Is it a shift in not in what is being worked with, but just how it's being presented? Kind of like what you're saying, that someone new always coming in now. Are you seeing everything's a little more streamlined, a little more user friendly, and in that sense, also easier to adopt? Because you need the adoption for the technology to really take off.
Absolutely. What I'm seeing is much more of just a basic level of acceptance that, people aren't necessarily questioning the fundamental data. They're like, yes, you can use this to do that. I understand that. And then they're asking the next question. How do I make this work in my system?
Or
what does this really mean? Does this give me X, Y, Z? So there's more of just a very basic level of acceptance of what we're doing rather than questioning every single piece of the puzzle.
In Verasio's case, though, it's a service. The company just have to onboard the service. They're not having to take this machine, bring it in, train their people. There's not this huge onboarding, right?
That's true. Yes.
Yeah.
And most scanning services do operate like that.
Yeah.
Whether it's XRF scanning, whether it's, hyperspectral scanning, there's now, LIB scanning systems out there. There's most of those are run as services just because, there's the instrumentation, but then there's the data interpretation, the data processing. And you really need to make sure that both those pieces of the puzzle are there.
Is this just to sort of wrap up, is this technology, the hyperspectral technology, I still can't say it properly, but... When it gets integrated into the system, will there be I think TrueScan is already on 2.0 and away we go. Will it continue to evolve, or is it a system that is established enough that once it gets integrated, it's pretty well established, that setup? Or will it keep, like everything, just keep on sort of 2.0, 2.35?
Probably depends who you ask and what day you ask. Certainly, this is the next step. So yeah. TruScan 2.0 is what we're sort of launching this year with the integration of the hyperspectral technology.
So that's what the 2.0 is?
That's what the 2.0 is, right. Yes. Certainly there's a lot of interest to, integrate, other pieces of technology.
Right. The trailer just keeps getting longer.
The trailer can get longer. certainly there's a lot of interest for sort of, integrating something like a mag sus meter. There are some sort of smaller additions that can be made. And we now have access to the Minilize and the Minilogger platforms as well.
We did an interview with them, yeah.
Yeah, well. So they've sort of joined the family. So there's a lot of excitement in terms of what we can do with that.
Yeah, it's so much to cover. It's fun. Like I said, when we did the first interview and Michael couldn't even start the interview and we had to herd people out of the booth so we could actually start to film. And I was like, oh, sorry, that's probably not what you want, to be pushing people, potential clients out of your booth. But some products they're so clear in the market. The need is there, just everything's in place. So it's pretty exciting. And I'm sure we'll be doing this interview again, for 3.0 and so on.
I hope so. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Gary, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I will let you get back to Amy.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you, everybody, for watching. Again, check out those other two episodes because this is really part of a series for Verasio, and the company is just doing some amazing stuff. Check out the interviews or just go onto their YouTube and their website. We'll have links, of course, and they've got some great illustrations of how the programs work and how they deliver it. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you for all the support, and we will see you on the next episode of Mining Now.